Welcome to this special report. I'm Brendan Palu. On the line with me right now is the Federal Minister of Employment, Workforce Development, and Disability Inclusion, the Honorable Carla Quattro. Carla, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Well, Carla, Ottawa extended the CERB until the end of September while also introducing new benefits to a revamped EI system. What led to this decision, and how will the 8.5 million Canadians that have used this emergency response benefit be impacted?
Well, really important questions, and thank you for answering. So, asking, we know that Canadians continue to face uncertain times, whether it's around availability to work, whether it's, you know, job loss, whether it's, I don't know if my kid has, you know, daycare or school to go back to, and therefore I don't know if I can work. And we're trying to create more of a buffer. Well, at the same time, we're trying to signal that there are jobs available. We do want people working. We want you to go work if you can and if you have the opportunity. So we've learned from the CERB, and we've learned from the challenges we faced in March getting everybody into EI. And we think we've come up with the right balance of support and incentive to work by getting many people into the EI at the end of September and creating kind of parallel benefits for people who, despite the changes to the EI system, won't get in.
Now, there are many people who believe the transition from CERB should focus on entrepreneurship and training, as there are some jobs that may never come back due to the pandemic. What is your response to that suggestion?
I agree. I think that that's a really key part to our successful kind of economic recovery from this pandemic. So one of the benefits of getting people into the EI system, as many people as we can, is there's access to training, and we're going to enhance that training opportunity for people, and we're going to provide training to people on the recovery benefit who aren't in EI. But we work really closely with the provinces, and BC is a really good example of that relationship, and we fund the provincial government, who then provides training to people on EI. And so, again, you know, it's one of the best systems we have right now, and it's got its problems, of course, but to get people in training, I think we could have a real legacy of a really modern workforce if we really invest in training during this pandemic.
Now, Carla, there was promised funding back in July to help support disabled Canadians that was put in limbo. Where does that currently stand, and how does Ottawa plan to support those that are disabled?
Again, thank you for asking about that. It's a personal passion of mine to make sure we don't leave people, particularly vulnerable people, behind in this pandemic. So we're now at the point where we have legislation in place that creates a supplement for about 1.7 million Canadians with disabilities, whether you get the disability tax credit, you're on CPP disability, you're a veteran receiving disability benefits. If you're in one of these federal programs, you'll receive a one-time payment of $600, which is non-taxable and non-reportable, which is very important in the disability community. And we're in the process of giving people additional time to apply for the DTC. So one of the things people were worried about was that because of low income or other reasons, they weren't part of these three groups, even though they have some kind of disability. So we've opened up a window of application for people to apply for the DTC so they can get this money too.
So that is in place now?
Yes, it is.
All right, how does your government plan to balance all the benefits just announced while also trying to further drive down the unemployment rate as more Canadians are either heading back to work or in the process of getting back to work?
You know, we've got a long way to go on getting back to pre-COVID unemployment rates. We've had some success as a country in getting people back to work. For example, at its highest, there were about 8.5 million people on the CERB, and now there's about 4 million or 4.5 million people on CERB. So we have evidence to show that about 4.1 million people have left the CERB and gone back to work or had more hours of work. We know the unemployment rate has come down, but it's still very, very high. And again, part of getting people into the EI system is to have access to working well on claim, work sharing arrangements, the training through EI, again, to really promote and incentivize return to work and support people's efforts.
What does the country plan to do about pandemic pay? There are some rumblings that some of these funds ran out for some people in August.
And again, we're looking at that. So, of course, these things were put in place. Most of the emergency measures were put in place till around the end of September. And now we're working with the provinces to see, you know, we've extended the wage subsidy, for example. We've now extended CERB and created these new benefits. The pandemic pay or the essential worker top-up, as we call it, is a key component of that. And we are working with the provinces to see what comes next for that. Every one of these programs was put in place for the 6 months ending in September. And so we're digging in to make sure that we continue to support people because we're still in a crisis and we need to signal that to Canadians and we need to continue to support them.
I guess what assistance are you providing to industries such as construction that are maybe having a hard time either getting or retaining employees, to help them get back to work or to do work right now with the summer construction season still going on, where some people are getting the $2,000 a month from CERB, and maybe there's, I don't want to say an incentive, but maybe more of an incentive to take the CERB check rather than go back to work because maybe they're getting more money with that benefit than they are with their current employer?
And that's one of the things we hear from employers, we hear from businesses in a number of sectors. And so as we designed this new benefit, we took off the requirement that you could only earn $1,000. And that people were saying, I only want to work the number of hours to get me just below that $1,000 so I can still get CERB. Well, you don't have that threshold, doesn't exist anymore. And we're having what is called more of a working well on claim model where you can earn more than $1,000 and still get this benefit. And at tax time, depending on what your annual income is, it'll be phased out. So you may have to, you can work when you're on EI, and at some point we take 50 cents of every dollar until you reach the amount you got in your EI benefit, and then it goes away. And that's what we're doing here. It's a little more complicated because we're dealing with self-employment and we're dealing with gig workers and people who don't record income in the same way as employers or workers do. But we're really trying to get rid of any disincentive to work. So we want everybody to know that it's always better to be working. Even if you're on this benefit, you can work and still be better off than if you're not working.
How are Canadians going to be paying for all these benefits in the future? Will we see tax hikes or any similar measures in the future? That's a concern on a lot of Canadians' minds right now.
And I get that concern, and I know just this week we have a brand new finance minister, and her and I have had the opportunity to have that conversation. Part of the reason that we are looking to do a speech from the throne, so a new kind of a restart of parliament, if you will, at the end of September, September 23rd, is to address that very concern, is to explain how we as a government are going to move forward and both continue to support people through these very significant investments, and at the same time get us, you know, keep us economically solid. Finance Minister would tell you that we have one of the most solid economic records in the G7. Economists around the world are looking at Canada and saying we are really well positioned to recover quicker than most, including our southern neighbors, because of the investments we've made as a government. But it's a big ticket item, and it's Canadians are justified in wanting to know what the plan is. And so we're going to lay out that plan on September 23rd and just, you know, share our vision for building back better, for lack of a better way of putting it, and really signal how we're going to do this. The Prime Minister has said it won't be done through tax hikes. So we're going to look at how we can do that in a responsible way. The reality is that people have to pay their mortgages and pay their bills. And we didn't want people losing their homes during a pandemic because we asked them to stop working. People have to. We didn't want bankruptcies. We wanted to, you know, help as many businesses as possible. So we were all best positioned to recover at the end of this. I think we're there, but Canadians are right to be wondering now what comes next.
Last question I have for you, Carla. How has your life changed since this pandemic began?
Oh, my. That in and of itself could be a full interview. I became employment minister in January, and we had the lowest unemployment level in recorded history when I was employment minister, and we now have the highest unemployment rate in history. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind. I love my job. I love helping people. I love digging in on tough issues and trying to solve problems. But it looks very different, you know, than it did a year ago, two, three, 4 years ago. I'm glad I've had the chance to be in cabinet before this because I think I'm a better decision maker. I think it's been tough on my family to watch me dig in on these things and be away from home and be on the front lines of helping with this. But it's been, you know, we're very lucky. We're healthy. We get to be together. So many families are struggling, and I'm very blessed to have the support of my family and my community in doing this job and just feel really lucky and take none of it for granted.
Well, Carla, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us today, and I hope sometime soon we get to do this again.
My pleasure. Take care.